The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Making Monsters. I'm Taylor Dahl, and we are continuing this with kind of a cruise around the NFC North. We're going to take a look at the NFC North as a whole, but I'm going to talk to individual people from the Lions, Vikings, and Packers just to get a bit from an outside perspective. I've done about 30-plus podcasts this offseason so far on free agency, on the draft, on the schedule, all of these things. So now we're just going to take a look at the big chunk of our schedule, which obviously six of our games come from these three teams, and the Bears were swept last season. The last time that happened was Trubisky's rookie season in 2017. It's never fun seeing that, but today we are joined by Pete Dougherty. He's the Packers columnist for Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today Network Wisconsin. So, Pete, I wanted to say thanks so much for hopping on with me. I really appreciate it. Obviously, the Bears-Packers rivalry has been pretty uneven the past pretty much my entire life. So the Bears fans are obviously hoping for a shift, but the Packers kind of had our number for a long time now, and I'm sure they expect that they can probably carry that on just because that's the way it's been now for 30 years or so straight. But I want to say thanks for joining me. Also, I love your Twitter picture because I love dogs, and your dog is adorable. So thanks for sharing that on there.
That's Albert. He's a year and a half old now.
Oh my gosh, so cute. That's the first thing I saw. I was like, okay, he is adorable. But Pete, let's start with the biggest thing, obviously. It's probably the biggest thing to happen in the NFC North in quite a while with Aaron Rodgers heading to the Jets. I'm friends with a whole lot of Packers fans, and obviously I've seen all sorts of reactions from this. Some saying it was time to go and it was just too much drama. Others a little worried. What's the feel as a whole over there, the vibe with Rodgers gone out of Green Bay?
Yeah, there's a real fresh feeling, you know, around the team. You know, I think there's a little, you know, there's a bounce in the step and, you know, real big curiosity with the team, and just the vibe is completely different. Now that can change fast if things go really poorly. And, you know, the Packers have dominated the Bears the last 30 years. And while there are, you know, multiple, you know, factors, there's really one that, you know, matters most and by a lot, and that's Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and the Bears just haven't found their quarterback. So that's over now. You know, it's unless Jordan Love turns into a, you know, a third straight Hall of Famer, and the odds on that are pretty astronomical against it. But so things, you know, that makes the whole dynamic really interesting. The Packers are right now in the same boat that, you know, numerous teams are in and have been in, where they're trying somebody, and they have somebody they like and they feel good about, but 2 years from now, they might be searching for a new quarterback. Who knows?
Yeah, and it is, as I mentioned, I will be 33 this year, so almost the entirety of my life has been Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. So for me, and we kind of joke about it on other Bears podcasts of just being, you know, having a little bit of PTSD from all of this and being scared, what if Jordan Love happens to be that next guy? Because we thought, what were the chances of having somebody else after Brett Favre? And then Aaron Rodgers comes along. So we have a little bit of trauma related to that, but obviously obviously it's Jordan Love time in Green Bay. So he's entering his fourth season, one start under his belt, but he has 10 total games, 83 pass attempts during that time. So a very small sample, Pete, but it seems like a good portion, or at least some of what I've seen on Twitter and some of the media in Green Bay, do think he has a chance to be good. They're just not quite sure where on the spectrum of good he can be. So what are the feelings around Love right now, especially with OTAs and mini camps and all of this starting? And what do you think a realistic season would look like for Jordan Love and the Packers organization to kind of decide they would move forward with him after this season?
Yeah, you know, he's improved a lot in the three years. This was a guy who needed it, especially with that first year being COVID and truncated training camp and no preseason games and all that. He needed, you know, the time to mature and develop, and he needed the work. He's got close to prototypical size, you know, 6'3", 220, maybe even, I think he's a little taller than that, 6'3 and a half. He's got really good arm talent. You know, he can throw from all the different angles. You know, pretty good zip on the ball. Pretty mobile guy. His 40 time is almost identical to what Rodgers was, and Rodgers was a really mobile quarterback. You know, the thing you don't know until they play a lot is how fast can they play? Like Tom Brady, you know, his feet are legendarily slow, mm-hmm. but he played the game really, really fast. You know, he could make reads, and the ball is coming out in a nanosecond, and that's what playing quarterback's all about. And so we don't know if Love has that. In his first start 2 seasons ago, his one start against Kansas City, he had a rough day. They blitzed him to death. Matt LaFleur's game plan didn't do Love any favors, and he really struggled that game. He did get him down to get some points near the end to keep him in the game, but it was a rough day for him. Mm-hmm. And then he played the second half of the last game because they had the best record in the NFC sewed up that same season, and he couldn't bring him back in the last 2 minutes. He got the ball back twice, and I think he threw 2 interceptions. So there were real questions. And then last year, you know, he played in the fourth quarter of a close game against Philly, and he really looked like a different guy, just way more poised and comfortable. But Philly up, so they were playing kind of a prevent defense, at least in his first drive. And, you know, so it's such a small sample, you mm-hmm. don't know. But there is real quarterback talent there. But the end comes down to how does he handle the blitz, the pressures, how is he when teams are coming after him? And then once teams kind of start figuring out things he does well, can he play around that and still win games, you know, when teams are game planning and they know his game?
Yeah, and I think we've seen that. We see it every year where a quarterback kind of comes out and, you know, whether someone gets injured or benched or whatever the situation may be, and they have a good two, three first games, and then there's film on them, and you really start to be able to kind of figure them out. So that will be, I think, one of the interesting things with Love. When, obviously, Aaron Rodgers has broke our hearts a million times in Chicago, and so obviously Bears fans are extra critical of him. Anything they can find to pick at Aaron Rodgers, they've used that in the last however many years, 15, 18 years now. So I think one of the rumors for a while was kind of Aaron Rodgers didn't want to help another quarterback, and you mentioned how beneficial it was for Love to sit behind Rodgers during that time and, you know, kind of learn the game. But was Rodgers actually was he helping him at all through this? Also, was Love getting actual advice and learning things from Rodgers, or was he just sitting behind kind of watching?
I think the feeling I get just watching outside looking in, not sitting in on the meetings, and, you know, just what each of them has said, I think he did help him. And one of the reasons why, from what I can tell, is I don't think Favre was a big help to Rodgers, mm-hmm. especially early on. There was big distance there. And I think Rodgers was more open and welcoming Love to the team once he got over the shock of them picking a quarterback in the first round in 2020. But I do think that Rodgers was more helpful personally than Favre was to Rodgers. I still think the greatest value is just observing, mm-hmm. you know, day after day and sitting in the meetings and watching the practice fields and the habits. But there's something to be said for being able to ask a guy, you know, really detailed questions and get a, you know, a good thoughtful answer back. And I do get the sense that Rodgers actually did help Love out in that way.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting dynamic the last few seasons in Green Bay, because there was just kind of rumors off and on. Aaron Rodgers is, you know, upset at this time, and he may be traded, and then that would wash away, and he'd be back and win a bunch of games. And it was kind of the same thing a few times. So this offseason, it showed me that there is at least a little bit of confidence in Jordan Love with the trade of Rodgers, and then, they, you know, with the way they reworked the contract and all of that stuff with the fifth-year option having to be decided. So there's something there that they feel like they have something to work with, and that kind of showed me that. But Pete, let's look a little bit at the rest of the roster a little bit. Defensively, some believe the defense could be a large reason the Packers still have a chance to win the NFC North. They drafted Lucas Van Ness, obviously linebacker out of Iowa, in the first round. He never started a game in Iowa, but he had a large amount of snaps there, and the majority of snaps he took for the Hawkeyes. But there's a lot of good guys on that defense. So tell us a little bit about where the defense stands and how quickly you see Van Ness making an impact.
Yeah, they have, I'd have to go back and count it up, but I think it's 8 first-round picks on their defense right now.
Wow.
So that's a lot. And their defense was a huge disappointment last year. They drafted 2 defensive players in the first round a year ago, Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt. And they were looking for the defense in the transition because they, you know, with Devontae Adams leaving, they were starting over at receiver. They were looking for that defense to carry them, especially the first half of the season. They were thinking, and the expectation was that this chance to be a top 5 defense. I was in Joe Barry's second year as coordinator. They had played better, that they had played pretty well the second half of the previous year. And they were, I think they finished like 17th in points allowed and 15th in defensive passer rating, which those are probably, if you're just taking the kind of the basic stats, those are 2 of the most telling defensive stats. Mm-hmm. They were basically as average could be on defense. And it was a huge disappointment. And yeah, if they're going to, you know, the division, I mean, let's face it, the division is probably going to be pretty bad this year. You never know how it, you know, sometimes teams are a lot better than anyone would have guessed, but this looks like it's going to be one of the worst couple divisions in the league. So any of these teams, you know, 9-8 might win the thing, you know,
yeah.
Who knows?
Oh yeah.
And if the Packers are going to have any chance at, you know, being a 500 team, they're going to need their defense to be really good. And cause you can't assume Love is going to be putting up a lot of points. The big thing for him will be just not to turn the ball over too much and not to lose games.
Yeah.
So I'm as curious as anybody to see if this defense, you know, is, did they just underachieve last year, or have they overrated the talent they have? And they are going to need Lucas Van Ness to play a fair amount. Rashawn Gary's got a torn ACL from last year. He'll be ready early in the season probably. But we all know pass rushing wins games. And so they need Van Ness to be, he doesn't have to be the, you know, top 5 rusher right off the bat, but they need him to be a pretty good promising player as a rookie, if some of those things are going to come through this season on their defense.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. The Bears pretty much, between the whole defensive front, the linebackers and the defensive line, maybe 3 of the 8 are going to be from last season. They pretty much revamped that whole side. So it's a big mystery to me how that is going to look on our side also. And I do want to get to the division as a whole and a little bit too, because like you said, it's a whole lot of question marks right now. It could go any way. You can make an argument for almost any of all 4 of them winning it for different reasons. But offensively for the Packers, obviously a good amount does rely on Jordan Love, which we've been there more times than I can count in Chicago, of just kind of relying on a guy that you're not told, you may have some questions about, or you just don't really know yet. But the one thing with Green Bay that you can point to is a really solid, if not one of the better run games in the league. But those questions around quarterback obviously maybe shift things a little bit. So a lot of young talent in the receiving core you guys have. You mentioned all of the young on the defensive side, but also that receiving side's pretty young too. How much would you expect Green Bay to lean on the run game this season?
I can only assume it's going to be really heavily. Aaron Jones is, you know, he's a really good back. He's a top 10 back. And A.J. Dillon's a good complement, a power guy compared to, you know, Jones, who's all, you know, quickness and short area burst. A good running game makes life so much easier for mm-hmm. a quarterback, especially a new starter like that. So I'm assuming they're going to run the ball a lot. And they're going to do more stuff under center. Rodgers didn't like being under center. But I think with Love, we'll probably see a lot more of that, more of the jet sweep stuff. Rodgers wasn't crazy about all that motion. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll see more of the true kind of the San Francisco 49ers, LA Rams version of this offense instead of the LaFleur Rodgers version of it. So the run game will be huge. They are really young at receiver. I mean, two guys were rookies last year. They're top two guys this year in Watson and Romeo Doubs. Mm-hmm. They've got young talent. They drafted two tight ends, one in the second round, one in the third round. Those guys are going to be playing a lot. There are going to be times where they're going to have, if they have four pass catchers out there, three, you know, there'll be two rookies and two second-year guys. Wow. And that's really young. I'm sure at times it's going to look really good because of the talent, and at times it's going to look really bad because guys don't know what they're doing or they're not on the same page. And that's another reason why, yeah, rely on the run game as much as you can to set up the pass, to grind the game, to grind yardage out, to milk clock, all of that stuff will work in the favor of a team breaking in a young quarterback.
Yeah, and I think obviously there'll be some speed bumps, but it's probably an ideal situation for Jordan Love, and the Green Bay gets to kind of just mold this offense around him, at least for now, if it's the guy they want to move forward with in the future. That's a decision they'll have to make after the season. But with such young guys, they don't have to shift an entire, you know, teach a whole offense to these receivers that have been there 5, 6, 7 years. They can kind of mold things to the strengths of Jordan Love and some of these new guys. And when it comes to the run game, probably good. It was that we saw last season the Bears led the league in rushing, a lot of that because Justin Fields could run like crazy. But it seems like in the NFC North, the secondaries are a lot better than the lines up front, because when you look at what kind of happened through the North in general last season, a lot of the teams allowed a whole lot of rushing yards and were able to run for a whole lot. So it kind of, it looks like it could work, be beneficial for almost all of the teams in the NFC North. But what is your opinion when you look at that as a whole, the NFC North as a whole? Do you think the Vikings, Pete, have a chance to do what they did last year? Or do you think that was just kind of an off chance? Because when you look at the point differential, it's kind of crazy at how many games they won and how many of those one score games they were able to win.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Yeah, and those teams, I think the analytics people who study the stuff will tell you teams will become the mean the next year, you know, because nobody just wins all those close games all the time. But, you know, the Packers were a little bit like that the first year, LaFleur's first year, but they got better the second year. So maybe, who knows? The Vikings they've got some really good offensive talent, so they'll be able to put up points. You're right. A lot of people ask, what do you think about the division? I don't know who's going to win this division. I mean, I'm taking a stab at it just like everybody else. The Lions finished really strong, so there's reasons to think them. I think Goff and Cousins are probably similar caliber quarterbacks. The wild card is the Bears because Fields. I mean, you said, that they led the league in running last year. I mean, that guy is a really impressive runner. The problem is those running quarterbacks – I mean, if Cam Newton can't make it through staying healthy, running the ball, and that guy was, 6'5", 250, mm-hmm. Those quarterbacks, they end up getting hurt, and that happened to Fields last year even. So it's how well can he throw the ball, when teams force him to play from the pocket. That's going to go such a long way in how good the Bears are. But they've got, you know, they added a lot this year. And if he makes a nice step, then they easily could win the division. I would give the Packers the least chance to win the division, but the odds of any one of these teams isn't that great. And the odds from the best team to the worst team for winning it, the difference just isn't that much. I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting because, like I said, I could make a case for any of them almost of saying, hey, this team can win because of this and this. They all have the factors also, though, where the same argument you can make for them to win the division, you can also make arguments for each of them of why they could lose the division. So it will be the way this plays out, and I think a lot of it is going to be on all of the quarterbacks, because obviously Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff both have statistically really good seasons, but then there's moments where they just don't look so great. And Justin Fields is definitely in a prove it year, and Jordan Love's in a year where he is taking over the reins of a football team for the first time in the NFL. So there's a lot of question marks around that. Pete, if you were to point at just the weapons, the mere weapons in the NFC North, is there a certain team that sticks out to you the most that looks that can be the scariest?
I guess the Vikings, because, you know, Justin Jefferson is just off the charts good. It's probably him or Chase. Those are probably the two best receivers in the league, I think, aren't they? I would guess so. Yeah. And they've got a lot of talent on offense, assuming they don't end up having to trade Dalvin Cook. He's a great, dual threat run catch running back. So they have the potential to be the scariest. And Cousins, for all his his shortcomings, he can get really hot, and he can beat anybody on any given week. He can have a great game and really go off. So I guess they're still probably the scariest one. Although, you know, playing the Bears, anytime a quarterback who can run like that, he can break your back converting third downs and run high. And Fields makes big, not just first downs. I mean, he makes long runs. So, mm-hmm. He could be pretty scary too if, he can add the throwing part better, in that part of his game. So those are probably the two scariest as far as being able to put up points, I guess.
Yeah, I think that with Justin, obviously, like you said, being able to get the ball out is going to be important. Protection was a big thing last season. He was sacked 55 times, so there isn't a whole lot you can do when you're getting hit that much. So hopefully that's something that, I know Packers fans aren't hoping that, but Bears fans are hoping that that's something that changed. If you could pick, Pete, before I let you go, last one, if you could pick for the Packers the position group that you are most confident in on the Packers, where they sit right now, and the position group you're least confident in on the Packers.
Well, I guess the place where they're most solid is on the offensive line, actually. They just, okay, with Bakhtiari back, and they feel like they have his knee figured out, how much to practice him and still have him healthy on Sunday. They're really solid up front. I'm not saying it's the best line in the league or anything like that, but they're just really sound. And I guess the thing you're most uncertain about, I'd say defensive line, even though receiver would be the one I think most would say. Mm-hmm. I think they've got a lot of young talent in the receiver tight end group. There's a lot to work with there. In the defensive line, they need Devontae Wyatt, who was their first round pick, their second first round pick last year, and he was basically a non-factor last season. They need him to make that big jump in his second year, and that could be the difference between them being a pretty good defense with a solid defensive line and them being an average defense again.
Yeah, and obviously the defensive side of the ball is very important when you are in a division with such different types of quarterbacks too, and especially the up front, because we talked about how pretty much all of the NFC North teams do have a pretty decent run game. It's just more questions sometimes around how consistent the quarterbacks can be or how good the quarterbacks can be. So again, it's going to be a really interesting year in the NFC North, because I do think, and you mentioned it in the very beginning of the podcast, you could see if somebody surprises you, you wouldn't be completely shocked if there's someone with 11, 12 wins at the end of the season. But if the winner of the NFC North has 8-9 wins, I don't think anybody would be shocked either. So it'll be really interesting this season coming up, Pete. And I really just wanted to say thank you so much for joining me as I just take this look around the North and see some opinions, some outside perspectives of what the North could possibly look at. So thank you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Have a good day. Thanks to Pete Dougherty for joining me. As I mentioned in the beginning, he's the Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today Network, Wisconsin. It's so hard for me sometimes to talk to Packers people because I know that, and he was pretty honest. Obviously, he mentioned Justin Fields and how scary Justin Fields can get. So he has a realistic perspective. But also, I think sometimes we can live in our own little world of optimism and hope. And a lot of this season relies on Justin Fields and this, if he's going to take that next step up. I think most of us are confident it's going to happen because they add DJ Moore. Although David Montgomery left, they added Deonta Foreman. They added Roshan in the draft and Robert Tonyan in the offseason. All of these pieces, and that's not even mentioning the offensive line that is pretty much completely revamped other than center with Cody Whitehair or Lucas Patrick, whichever way they end up going with that. The defensive line, I think for us, which I've mentioned, still a little bit of question. I do think it's improved from last season, but I don't think it's as strong as we really want it to be, especially in a division where we are facing guys like the Packers running game that they have and with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. So it's going to be a whole lot of question marks. And as I mentioned many times in this, and as Pete Dougherty mentioned, it could go any way. I could seriously make an argument for any team to make it. I could make an argument for any team not to make it. But it's going to rely on a lot about these quarterbacks. Is Kirk Cousins going to have another season like he did last year? Is Jared Goff going to have a season, start playing like he did towards the end of last season? Is Justin Fields going to take this next up? What the heck is Jordan Love? We don't know. As I mentioned, he's only played 10 games in the NFL, and he's going into his fourth season. So yes, he sat behind Aaron Rodgers and he watched him learn, but that's fine. Like, I can sit behind Aaron Rodgers and I'll probably learn some things. Does that mean I'm going to be able to go out and play quarterback in the NFL? No. And we see it every year where these guys get thrown into games and there's glimpses of good. We saw it with Mitchell Trubisky. There was games where Mitchell looked like he could be an NFL quarterback, and we're like, okay, like, maybe this guy isn't. Maybe he just needs a little more protection, or maybe he needs another weapon, or maybe he just needs another year in the season. And then when teams really started to figure out the Bears' offense with Mitchell Trubisky, things kind of fell apart. And not only is Jordan Love in, like I said, only 10 games into 4 years of the season, but there's also a really young roster around him that are also all learning the NFL. But at the same time, you don't know. We do not know at this point. You can't say what Jordan Love will or will be, and you just can't. You can go back and watch his 80 passes that he made in the NFL and try to come up with an answering and a reasoning, and I'm sure you have some opinion on it, but we just do not know. There's no way you know from that short of a sample of how good or bad somebody's going to be. I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's like all right, if he's sufficient and can get them through the season. And honestly, Bears fans kind of should want him to like not look great, but look just good enough to win like 6 games so they don't get Caleb Williams or one of the good quarterbacks in the top of the draft next season. And as hard as that's going to be, is rooting for them, because I would love for them to win like 1 or 2 games and just get that feeling and shove it in their face. But at the same time, we don't want them next season to get one of those, like I said, Caleb. We don't want to have to deal with that again. We want them to have to try to suffer a little bit without the quarterback, because they've had enough. Give everybody else an opportunity. But anyways, as I mentioned in the beginning of this is my cruise around the North. We're going to take a look at all the NFC North teams. I just talked to Pete, obviously, from the Packers. I'm going to go through and talk to someone from the Vikings and Lions. And we're just going to get a little bit of a perspective from the outside, what they see on the Bears, how they feel about the North, how they feel about their teams, because obviously they cover their teams way closer than we do. We follow along as much as possible. We know for the most part how their drafts looked and what they did in the offseason, but there's only so much you know from sitting on the other side of the table. So this next few weeks are going to be that. And because obviously we're in OTAs right now, and before you know it, I think, maybe 2 months away from training camp started. So next thing you know, we're in camp, and I have some fun stuff to get all of you that listen and follow me on Twitter involved for the podcast after this cruise around the North. And it should be really fun, because I'm going to get a lot more interaction between you guys, ask some fun questions, go through what the roster looks like and get your opinions on some of the things that you guys like and don't like about the Bears and expectations of what we can hope. Because last season we were just in such a different place. I remember making a list of the 5 guys I was most excited about, and I think only maybe 2 of those ended up working out. I know I had Cole Kmet on my list. I think Cole Kmet's going to take another step this season. And there was one other one. Oh, I think Brisker or Kyler Gordon were on my list. I can't remember which one. And oh, I think Tevin was too. So I might have actually had three that were on my list that I was excited about and was like expecting good things from last season, and it ended up happening. So it'll be really fun. We'll get some of that stuff in with you guys. So stay tuned the next couple months before camp. We'll have some fun. This is going a little bit off stream from normal Making Monsters stuff because it's summertime. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a little more relaxation type podcast rather than so serious, because obviously once the season starts, I'll really dive in to these players. So again, thanks for listening. As always, I really appreciate it. And I'm Taylor Dahl, and this is another episode of Making Monsters.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.